Can we give our teachers a hand clap for all of what they do? Thank you, Lord. I'd like to turn your attention to Zechariah, the second chapter. My father was a carpenter, and so around the house there were always carpenter tools. I remember being fascinated as a child with the level and that bubble that keeps moving back and forth, and I was just so curious to find out what that was that I used a hammer, and I got it later. He also had a plumb bob, you know, it's this piece of metal that looks like, a weight with a point on it, and you would hang it from something and let it fall down, and it would always show exactly what was perpendicular, what was straight. So I was always intrigued by those things, and if you're a builder, you have to have those kind of tools to make sure that what you're building is straight, it's plumb, it's on the level. Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 1 says, I lifted up my eyes against and looked, and behold, a man with a measure line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. God, we ask your blessing and anointing on the word of God. It's a precious thing that we have in our hands, so precious we can't imagine. And God, we're asking, Lord, that it would go forth unhindered. Lord, that we would see things that perhaps we had never seen before, that God, we could build according to your dictates. It's all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Every time we get together to worship God, there are angels here with measuring lines like a plumb bob. How does it line up? How does it line up to the Word of God? Not to the pleasures of people or to the, the enjoyment of a service, but how does it line up based on what the Word of God says? The Word of God is used to determine if we're building right, straight, level. And if so, then saith the Lord, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. We'll be a church that is protected, but more importantly, God's going to be right in the middle. If we're not doing it according to the Word of God, the measure of God, then I don't believe that God can be in the middle of it. Do we see the significance of living according to the principles of God? There's a wall of God's Spirit completely surrounding us to protect us according to this scripture. And just as important is that God will be in the middle of every service and in the midst of everything in our day-to-day lives, not just because we come to church, but every time we wake up in the morning and go about our business. If you could just visualize, there's going to be a wall of fire that is put around you in order to protect you based on the plumb line. Just as God put a hedge around Job. Why? Because God examined Job, and he liked what he saw. Job 1 and 8 said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, A perfect and upright man, one that feareth or respecteth, reverence God, and escheweth or hates evil. You see, he has been measured and found that he's been building according to God's plan. This is cause for a wall of fire to be around him. So let's take a look at a familiar scripture, Psalms 91. This is such a powerful scripture. If the enemy of our soul could rip this out of the Bible, it'd be one of the first things he would do. In fact, he quoted some of this when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Verse number one, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, and truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. How with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We all have priorities in our lives. Some call it a bucket list. But you know, there isn't anything that's more important than dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Because by doing that, you know what happens? All of these benefits, all of these protections, all of these things that we just read are ours. We don't have to beg God for it. He that dwelleth, or that word dwell, means to remain in the secret place or under cover of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge, or a place to flee to for protection, and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And the benefits are, we are delivered from entrapments by the enemy. Nothing's going to ambush us. We are covered by his power and his protection as a wall of fire that is set up around us. Nothing can get to us. All fear is taken away because of the threat against us. We worry. Instead of having restless nights, we can put our head on a pillow and say, okay, I trust in God. We're careful for nothing, but in everything we give thanks. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our mind and heart. We will eventually see the end result of our enemy. We will not be subject to the evil or plagues that come upon the ungodly. Angels will be given watch over us to keep us in all of our ways. We will be put in a high and inaccessible place because we have known the name of God, which is Jesus. When we call upon God, the Bible says he will answer and he will deliver us from all of our trouble, and God will satisfy us with long life. But mainly, salvation. All these benefits are contingent upon remaining undercover. He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High. The question is, who's undercover this morning? The answer is those who remain under God's word, principles, authority. Adam and Eve enjoyed freedom and protection in the garden. It's what every one of us really are after. Carefree life, no worries, no death hanging over us. Don't have to go to work, just enjoy this beautiful park. Have communion with animals. Some of you have dogs and cats that you love so well. Can you imagine if all creation every morning came to wake you up and everything was fine? Oh, there's a lion. How you doing? Wonderful. Marvelous. But the moment they disobeyed God, they found that they were no longer under God's cover. And they had to make cover for themselves. How many times do we have to protect ourselves because we got out from under God's cover and now we have to fend for ourselves? Accusations, situations, threats against us. Church, we need to take cover. Our nation has been blessed by God because we are founded under God's authority. I'm glad that everything that I have in my pocket that is monetary has "In God We Trust." But if we get out from under that authority, then we will be like any other godless country, not blessed by God. We're the youngest of most every nation on the face of the earth, but we have the most power, we have the most wealth. But it seems like it's going the other way because we're getting out from under the authority of God, and now it's not so important anymore. Our Pledge of Allegiance says, "One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." If we get out from under the cover of God, then we forfeit the liberty and the justice for all. And today, we don't have as much liberty as we once had. We don't have the justice we once had because this nation isn't quite under God like we once were. If we leave the principles of God for whatever reason, then we are no longer a nation under cover, the cover of God. Remember, the United States is not and has never been set up as a democracy where everybody gets a vote, and we decide what the rules should be. You see, that's why we have a constitution. That we look at the constitution framed by our godly forefathers to be able to be parameters of what's right and what is wrong. We have a constitution as well, church. Not based on how many want to do it this way, but based on what's right by the framer of our life. We're a republic, meaning that we are governed by the laws of the land and not by popular opinion. And unfortunately, there are just too many polls and too many opinions. Not everybody can be right. The reason our form of government has worked is for the same reason the church works. We conform to God's law and not to the popular opinion of everybody else. You know, they don't understand us. Most people that you come in contact with will not understand why we do what we do, but they don't also understand the freedom and the peace that we have and even the miracles that show up at our door when we need them, that God answers our prayer and not the people who have just decided, "I'm going to do what I feel is right." It's hard to understand kingdom principles with a democratic society, you see. A kingdom is ruled by a king, and there is rank and order and authority. The laws of his kingdom are not suspended by popularity or votes or polls or opinions. His laws are not swayed by what we believe to be good for us. Too often, if people don't agree with authority, they then challenge authority by some kind of protest or, "Look how many people we have that say it's not important." I've had people come to me and say, you know, there are several of us who, really, doesn't matter. What does the book say? Amen. But there's a church that doesn't matter. What does the book say? Amen. After all, government should be of the people, by the people, and for the people, not God's government. Amen. This mindset has trickled down into Christianity, separation of church and state. Well, that was there so the state doesn't get involved in the church, not that we aren't involved in the state. It's to the point where we're self-governing. No one tells me what to do. And I'm afraid that can happen to each and every one of us because we're living in an independent nation. Nobody's going to tell us what to do, and we won't submit to what God says is going to bless us and protect us. Take your Bibles and turn to Judges, the 17th chapter, please. Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6, it says this, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Oh, God help us when we get to the place, you know what, I'm just listening to whatever I feel is the thing to do. And that is why it is so hard to get people to submit to the Word of God. I have enough understanding of God's Word to know I need to stay undercover and always frame my actions based on what the Word of God says. Yesterday I was invited with a group of 30 men to go pheasant hunting with Governor Walker. And when we got there, there was an address from the game farm that we were at, and then I was asked to pray for everyone's safety. And I just felt God's unction to say, do you know that government was ordained by God, not by man? But God has to be in the middle of government. And I said, I am glad to know that we have a governor standing right here that is a man of faith. And we're going to see and have already seen the blessing of God on our state. Whether the rest of the states take that action, whether your family stays with those principles and they're blessed, God will bless individual families within you based on how they stay with the principles of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I talked to somebody last week, and they said, you know, I have had $25,000 increase this year alone because I simply did what God wanted me to do. Do you know that 2 years ago we had a $3 billion deficit, and now we have a $800 million reserve? Could it have something to do with God's principles? I believe it does. I believe it always will. Amen. We have the assurance of the protection of local authorities. I'm glad that there are police squad cars running through our neighborhood, the police department, the sheriffs, as long as we stay under the law. Once people break the law, the same people who protected us now are forced to take our liberty from us because we didn't get underneath the law or stay with it. It's a principle that can never be violated. There have been times when I've been challenged by authority in my life, and we all have and will continue to be challenged by authority based on what our likes are, what our opinions are. I've been challenged in school, and most of you were. I remember going home and telling my mother in first grade, I just don't understand it. The teacher gets to walk around and I gotta sit down. You know? Even to this day, if I'm on the phone, I have to walk around. You know, I'm not much of a sitter. I like to walk. And she said, no, that's what you need to do. I remember in the Army standing in formation for 45 minutes or an hour. not knowing what was going to happen, but I had to stand there, and it was a part of submission, a boss that I didn't agree with. Sometimes even the word of God, I don't understand it, but God, I'm going to do it. Thank God I have learned to submit, to keep under cover. And that's what happens with each and every one of us. There's tests. Turn to Romans, the 13th chapter, please. When I was on the district ministerial board, every candidate that came before us for a ministerial license was given the question, well, what about Romans, the 13th chapter? And if they didn't answer it adequately, they were not promoted. Verse number one says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance or the law of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. There's a government, there's an authority, there's a structure, there's a framework to the church. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on Balaam and his trip to curse God's people. And he was on this donkey, and the donkey refused. And he began to beat the donkey and call it names. And someone later said to me, came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I liken Balaam on the donkey, and I perceive that you are the donkey. I don't know if I wanted to thank him or not. I'm glad he just used donkey, you know. What they said was this: as the ministry carrying the burdens of the saints, and that's what the ministry does. Faithful to be there to help them through every situation. And I've helped a lot of people through a lot of different situations. But then they decide to go on a path that is forbidden by God. And suddenly it's the ministry's fault. When it was the ministry that was the one who was trying to protect. That's what God is saying. You know what? I've set up structure in order to protect you, but then when the structure says no, then all of a sudden, let's beat the animal that's carrying you, that's helping you. God has showed me that our church has been blessed because I stayed undercover, and I won't refuse to change. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? And the whole purpose of this church is for us, like in that upper room, to come in one accord, in one place, that God's Spirit can move in this place, and we agree. But if there's resistance to that, then there's going to be a problem with God's Spirit really doing what he wants to do for the church. You see, the enemy wants us to be divided, and especially from the leadership of the church, because it's God's authority within in it that protects us and allows the blessings of Psalms 91 to go forth. Therefore, the enemy wants to put division between people within the church. It's his greatest tool. It's his greatest instrument of destruction in order to divide people within the church. And the word division means two visions. And if there's two visions in the church, if there's two visions in the home, well, then there's no protection. There's no blessing. There's no long, satisfying life. Anybody want to say amen?
Amen.
Good, I'm feeling better. Amen. See, we can't allow circumstances to separate us from ministry. Because the next step is to see ourselves accountable only to God. I don't need to listen to that. I talk to God directly. Fool. Because one day you're going to have to answer to somebody. And those who think this way are on a collision course with the very God that they love. Saul, who became Paul later, was in that place. He resisted God's authority and did what he thought God would have him to do, but he was kicking against the pricks. God knocked him down. In verse 5 of that ninth chapter of Acts says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." We bring pain to ourselves as we resist ministry. No matter what, I've got to stay under authority. I remember going to the district board for promotion from local license to general license, and I'll tell you, there were some situations that I was not comfortable with, but I knew I needed to keep my mouth shut. And I needed to stay under that authority, whether I agreed with it or not. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. You can see why the enemy wants to get us out from undercover. All of the benefits of Psalms 91 are no longer ours if we get out from under the shadow of the Almighty. And most of all, that protection that God has, like with Job, putting a hedge around us. Listen, I try to be the best pastor I can. I take this job very seriously. I talked to Governor Walker yesterday, and I said, so do you feel that there will be a chance that you will somehow be a candidate for presidency in 2 years? And he said, you know what? I really love the job I'm doing. I really love it. I really feel like making a difference. This is not about complimented. But you know what? I feel that there is a job that I need to do that's right here. I don't need the accolades. I don't need the attention. And you know what? If we could all just do the job that God wants us to do. Just do the job, you know. Not, well, God can promote, but if he doesn't, so what?
Amen.
So what?
Amen.
So I try to be that best pastor, but because I know I can disappoint someone here, it could cause them to get out from under the authority, and that is just what the devil would want us to do. Because you're disappointed in the ministry, somehow you reject that authority, and now all of a sudden you don't have the benefits of Psalm 91. I know I have to say some things that are hard to accept from time to time, but it has to be in love. It has to be something that I live before I can demand somebody else live that way. I don't want to frustrate anybody with inconsistency.
Amen.
Okay, this week we're going to do it this way. And Then I changed my mind. Next week we're going to do it. No, no. If we could just be consistent with what the Word of God says, you see, then there are benefits. Once a person decides that they will no longer follow the ministry, the gates are open and the hedge is gone. I've used this illustration before, but I read this a long time ago about a first grader who went to school, and the teacher was very grumpy, very rude, very demanding, and this first grader, he just didn't care for it at all, always yelling. And as a result, he hated to go to school, and his learning was greatly hindered because of the approach, because of the way the teacher was. And then, by the time he got to second grade, they moved to another state, and he had a different teacher in second grade. And this new teacher was almost overly nice and extremely sensitive to the happiness of every student. And Johnny got away with about anything, and he learned very little. So his parents moved him again to a private school, and he was now under the training of a good and a kind teacher, but a teacher that was very firm in the teachings. But he discovered that he was way behind all of the other teachers because of the two other teachers who didn't do it right. And so soon Johnny was frustrated and he just kind of shut down. I see people like that in church. They just shut down. I'm here. But I'm really not going to receive anything from the pulpit. I don't care who's up there, because they've been hurt by somebody else or some situation. And soon Johnny, frustrated, he didn't even want to go to school. Tears flowed because he was just so overwhelmed by what he couldn't catch up with. And one night, as his father was trying to help him with his homework, he started to sob, and finally he wiped the tears away, regained his composure, straightened up, crossed his arms, and said, "Daddy, I want to tell you something. Did you know that Jessica in my class, she doesn't believe in doctors?" And then he paused and he said, "Daddy, I don't believe in teachers." So how do we bring this home? Too often there are histories of unpleasant experiences with authority, people who made demands rather than in love. I said to somebody last night, you'll extend mercy to people that you really love. You don't love them. We extend mercy to our kids over and over again, but sometimes we're sharp with people who aren't in your family. But God's mercy should extend through us to everybody who is around us. Hallelujah. Some leaders have been too harsh, and so they never experience the joy of being in church and under that authority. You should be glad when you come to church. Feed me, God. Give me some information. Some leaders were so sensitive to the happiness of people that there are no rules, no positive direction. Do whatever you want. It's fine. Doesn't matter. I don't think God really cares if you're going to fall behind. When the trumpet blows, you're going to fall behind. Or maybe a leader that was demanding one week and now all of a sudden very liberal the next week. So an attitude develops that says, I just don't believe in authority unless I first agree with that authority. I remember Brother Arcoviel saying some of the same things when he was here a number of years ago. I don't want to prolong this. I'm just saying I have to stay under the authority of God in order to be protected. Not too long ago, I was going through some things that I had after my mother died, and in it I found a little pin, and it was from 1957. How many remember 1957? Wasn't that a great year? Yeah, both of you. And I guess my mother kept it because she thought it was significant. And I don't remember what grade I was in at the time, but it said polio pioneer. A lot of kids that were my age were contracting polio. Their devastating effects, withered arms and legs, and people who can't walk. And it was a very serious disease. And I remember my mother sitting down with me one night and saying, Jim, tomorrow we're going to take you to the clinic, and you're going to be privileged to be one of the first people who get a shot of polio vaccine. I remember saying, Mom, I don't want that shot. I don't want to go. I remember this huge nurse grabbing me, almost swallowing me up. And then I saw the needle, and it was not a pleasant thing that was about to happen. To this day, I don't even like needles. But I got the shot. I can move my arms. Because it was a protection. It wasn't always pleasant, but it was a protection. With all my heart, I want to protect this body of believers. It's not always going to be pleasant, but one day, people will thank me because we're walking on streets of gold together. Because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a refuge. Church, stay undercover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of us who were in the army were taught very early in basic training, I don't care what I say, you're going to do it. And from time to time, it was, get down, give me 50 push-ups. Dig a hole, I want you to bury something. Bury it, dig it up. Are you sure it was in there? Now, that just didn't seem like it was necessary to go through all those things. But you know what? When you get on the battlefield, one day someone's going to say, you got to go forward or you got to go this way, and it could save your life. Hallelujah. I'm glad I had firm teaching like that. I'm glad that there was an authority that said, here's what the Word of God says. It's not going to change. Our God is never going to change, folks. Do you love Him this morning? Would you stand with me? Would you make a renewed commitment to this word? Would you get under it? Would you see the benefits? Glory to God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?